defense's group was better today. You know, 17 points. And what was the difference than from past weeks?
Yeah, we played better. You know, we was having fun and we was communicating a lot better. So, you know, when you do that, you know, everything go well.
And yourself personally, did you feel like you were back more to yourself today? You made more plays. Did you feel 100% healthy today?
It really ain't about me, man. It's about the team. And what we got to do right now is figure this shit out and get a win. And that's what we need to do. It ain't about me. You know, you got to come together as a team and get this win, get wins, so we can all start this little streak up, man.
Now, when the streak was going last year, you know, 5 in a row, you guys were rolling. Is there something in this team? Do you feel like it's there, like it's close? Or guys just have a lot of work to do
It ain't a lot of work, man. We just got to do it. Like, it's in our hands. We just got to push past it. I don't know what we got going on, if it's a curse or anything, but we just got to find a way and get a dub, man. That's what we got to do.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
Hey, good morning, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz, Monday Morning Joe podcast on joebucksfan.com. You heard to open right there the passionate words of Kwon Alexander in the locker room after the game. Appreciate Kwon giving me a little one-on-one time for a while before the herd came over of media to chat with him. And he thinks we're cursed. He doesn't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. And I just felt the voodoo music was the way to go today. Captured my mindset. This is painful stuff right now. Painful stuff. The Bucks are 2-5 and they stink. But even worse, they've just destroyed all of our hopes and dreams because nobody figured them as a 2-5 team. Nobody. And yeah, there'll be a few people. You might have a friend or two who appears thinking, oh yeah, I was sure the Bucks were a 5-win team this year, 4-win team. Come on. That's not the reality. And that's not what any of us expected. Although I hate to say it because I said it here on last week's podcast, and it's going to be a little bit of a running theme until the Bucks figure this out. Or until they have a new coach. I hate to say that. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But they don't know how to win. This team is disjointed. Something felt off in the locker room last night after the game. You know, I try to give you as much insight as I can here. A lot of it's, not a lot, but enough of it's my gut, just from what I see, what I have access to that you don't. You know, the defense, there were guys on the defense who were definitely troubled after this game. A lot of pain in their voice. McCoy, Clinton McDonald, Kwon, Levante. But there were other guys on this defense, specifically guys in the secondary. You might have thought for a little bit that they won. I mean, they weren't really as nearly as sad as their offensive counterparts or some other guys on the defense. And I thought that was a little bit odd. I haven't seen that in a while, especially in October after a crushing loss. Because let's face it, this was supposed to be a playoff game yesterday. A playoff game. That's what it was. Season on the line. Division opener. Carolina, arch rival. They didn't show up with the intensity that they needed. Certainly not offensively. And Dirk Cutter and the Bucks to drop a goose egg, really. No touchdowns in what was a playoff game. A playoff game. That's really what should have been the mentality going in there. Done. They didn't show up, and that's just inexcusable, and it makes you start to wonder about Dirk Cutter. I personally wasn't wondering at all about Dirk Cutter after the Buffalo loss. Things happened, his offense was gelling, but now we're in a whole different planet because that should never happen at home. And with all the troubles of the Bucks leading into yesterday's game, I was, you know, many of you know who listen regularly here know I'm pretty much an optimist, at least in the Joe Bucks fan world. I trend a little more optimistically, but my feeling was, until they screwed up at home and really started to play lousy at home, where previously it was just on the road, I wouldn't get worried. And now I'm worried because you just cannot do that at home. You cannot do that at home. The Panthers are not good enough for that. There were too many opportunities. You just can't do it. So where are we now with these Bucks? Where are we now? We're a freaking mess. I don't think there's any realistic shot of them going up to New Orleans and winning the game. I just don't see it whatsoever. I see a team that's disjointed, a team that, where's the nasty? How about that? Where's the nasty? Where's the J.R. Sweezy influence on this offensive line we all heard about? Where's the nasty? Doesn't mean they're awful, but where's the nasty? Where's the playoff intensity? Where's this guy Sweezy supposedly rubbing off on everybody else? He's the highest paid guy on the line. He's the guy with the Super Bowl ring. Evan Smith has one too. But come on, there's no nasty, not nearly enough on that line. And there's just a lot of disconnection with Jameis and the receivers. And now we have drops, a couple of drops by Mike Evans. We've got more disconnection with DeSean Jackson. OJ Howard, two catches on two targets. Can we please use this guy? Where's the matchup nightmare he was supposed to be? Why did we draft him if we're not going to use him as a matchup nightmare? Some of this stuff just, it's frustrating when you lose and it gets magnified when you lose. And I realize there's only one football, but come on. Before the game, Jason Light, general manager, was on the Buccaneers radio network saying that OJ Howard, he believes, has hit his groove. He's grooving. He's hit his groove. He's hit his good spot. And then they threw it to him twice. Unbelievable stuff. We got a lot to get to on this podcast, which is presented by Discount Garage Doors and Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. You definitely want to get over there. It's their year-end closeout where you can save up to $12,000 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on all 2017 Ford and Hyundai vehicles. Plus, every new vehicle purchase includes their nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty, and you get 1 year free maintenance. Shop from nearly 1,000 vehicles in stock. Make your selection by price or by payment. You shop online. Go to LakelandAutoMall.com or go to LakelandFord.com. Get your best deal there and then tell Lakeland Ford manager Sean Sullivan you're a stick carrier or a Bucks fan or you love JoeBucksFan.com. Let him know you love the Bucks and you'll get an additional $500 off your best deal on any new Ford. No other dealer can compare. Come to Lakeland Auto Mall today and find out why they are exceeding customer expectations every day. I go to Lakeland Ford. Looking forward to getting back there soon. Definitely reach out to Sean Sullivan. Call him up. Great guy. He'll answer your questions. Monday's a great day to do that. Not exactly the busiest day in the world in the car industry. Call him up. Tuesday, Monday. Go to LakelandFord.com. Find something you like. Call him up. Talk to him about it. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. And Discount Garage Doors, 24/7. Give them a call, 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR. You'll get a same-day free service call every day of the week, 7 days a week. Estimate, a diagnosis, most competitors charge for that. Discount Garage Door is a big company, but a local company. Locally born, locally raised. They've been doing this almost 20 years. They've expanded to throughout the Tampa Bay area, all the way out to Orlando and beyond. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code for 10% off. They have new doors, a wide range of doors, and of course, they're fully state licensed. You're going to be very impressed. Go to dgdoors.com, dgdoors.com. All right, we could sit here and break down that game yesterday against the Panthers. We could look at some little details and all kinds of stuff like that. We could praise Ryan Smith for looking like an NFL cornerback. How about that? The Bucks really didn't suffer too much with Javion Elliott at nickel, which I don't think really surprised anybody. I don't think Elliott necessarily played so badly last year to lose his job. And there were some good things in the secondary going on. Verdon Hargraves didn't really screw up too much, which is good. And he's had a couple of better games in the last two games. I don't think he looks like the number 11 overall pick in the draft like he should. And he's held to a different kind of standard, which is just the way football works. But better stuff from him. But we can dissect the game, but I think that's really missing the point. I really do. I think right now the Bucs are suffering from a crisis of leadership. We heard many times from Dirk Cutter this season, this offseason, that he likes their leadership, that they have strong leadership. And Cutter says that with the utmost candor and having studied every word that Dirk says publicly, he means it. He believes it. But I think there's a bit of a crisis of leadership going on right now. Now, when you're 2-5, of course there is. Yeah, real smart, Steve, right? A crisis of leadership. They're 2-5 and on a 4-game losing streak. But I think it runs deeper than just the record. Look at Jameis. Does it feel to you like he has that rallying grip on the team, that will to victory, that we've seen in the past. That is he playing with that same fire? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Now, part of that might be injury. And I've even heard some rumblings that Jameis might have been injured in the Minnesota game a little bit. Maybe that got in his head a little bit. I don't know. But he's clearly been officially injured entering games with the last two games with his shoulder. Whether that's affected his play or not is definitely unclear. However, he doesn't seem like the same leader. And his play against the Panthers, stupid mistake. Again, trying to throw a shovel pass for 2 yards on second down when you're in the grasp of a Hall of Famer, Julius Peppers? Come on, Jameis. That's just stupid high school stuff. And for a guy with tremendous football IQ who has seen himself make this mistake before on different levels, he's been drilled and schooled and pounded into his head all offseason by coaches, protect the football, protect the football, protect the football. Do this, do that, protect the football. And he does something like that. You don't see great quarterbacks do that. Great quarterbacks don't try to throw ridiculous shovel passes. It wasn't like it was fourth down or third down late in the game. This is early in the game. An important first half drive. You're on the other team's 40. Take the sack and the 3 yard loss. You're on the 40. You killed yourself 3 points, momentum, everything else for no reason. Sometimes there's a reason. Okay, you're taking a shot. That's not a shot. That's just not being willing to accept the coaching, reprogram yourself, and take the darn sack. It's really frustrating at this point because he's not a rookie. 39 games, Jameis. 39 games. We love you. You're America's quarterback. But 39 games, you can't do that. Cannot make that play, period. Get your head in the game. And the late pick to Cameron Brate, 3rd and 14, I think it was. I mean, it's a great pick by Luke Kuechly. I'm not going to take away from a lot of the great things that that guy does on the field and did in this past game. I heard a stat before the game that ever since Luke Kuechly has had concussion issues, which have been well publicized, the Panthers, when Kuechly plays, they're 16-7. I think without him, they were 5-6. So, I mean, he makes a big difference, and it showed. But Jameis forcing it to Cam Brate, so predictable on that pick. You know, that's not necessarily on Jameis, but you know what? I mean, the forcing of it, you got to make a play. If he saw him, he saw him, but that's, you can't throw the pick there. That's just it. And the sack fumble, that wasn't on Jameis, but he's not playing that well. Gerald McCoy, are you making anybody around you better, Gerald? I think McCoy's a good player. I do. He's not Warren Sapp. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a good football player, and he's certainly the best we got on the defensive line. But I remember Brian Cox when he was here, the great multi-year all-pro, pro bowler, one of the nastiest players in NFL history. If they had a top 40 nasty of all time, Brian Cox would be there. And he was a defensive line coach under Greg Schiano here. Pass rush coach. He changed titles a couple times. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I remember talking to Brian Cox in June one year, and he said the challenge for Gerald is to make other guys around him better. That's what great players do. This is coming from Brian Cox. Bring guys with you. Bring them along with you. Look at any great. They've raised the game of those around him. And there's just no evidence that Gerald McCoy is doing that. Now, maybe that speaks to the train wreck that Jason Light has built on the defensive line because it's bad. Really bad. No hits on Cam Newton. No hits. It's hard to get no hits. I mean, just luck. I mean, it's bad, but McCoy, it's just not really making guys better. And if he is, maybe he is. If he is, that's even more scary. So I think his leadership is lacking. Just, I mean, he's just hasn't been the face of winning with the Bucs. And I just don't think, it's not there right now. I don't see it. I don't see them responding to his strong example and everything else. And, you know, against Carolina, that was not McCoy's best game. Not McCoy's best game when they're playing their backup center and Trey Turner's banged up, left the game early. Mike Evans, he's a new captain this year. I asked Mike, I guess I could pull the audio, but it's not that impressive. And plus, it'd take me a lot of time with the production value here in the podcast. Monday mornings are a time for drinking when you're a Bucs fan. I'm just kidding, of course. But Mike Evans, I asked him last week about, I think it was Wednesday, asked him about how seriously he's taking the captaincy and snapping the team out of this and putting the team's funk, the whole team's funk, on his shoulders and getting him ready to play and fired up and all the stuff that you envision from a leader. And he said he takes it very seriously and very personally, and it's a focus of his. And even in his locker, which I saw this, he didn't tell me about it, but he had some hats made, El Capitan and El Capitan and some other stuff. And, he takes it seriously. He even said when he was on the Buccaneers radio network recently, he said something like, call me Captain Mike. It's got a nice ring to it. Whatever it is, he had a couple of drops. He's not playing that well. He's not playing terribly, but I really didn't like his effort, or maybe he caught the ball late, but his shot, deep shot down the field where he got a hand on the ball, even though Jameis overthrew it a little bit, it wasn't a typical Mike Evans effort. He certainly didn't lay out for it. I thought maybe he didn't pick it up right away in the sun or something. I don't know what was going on, or the wind, whatever. Evans isn't playing that well, and surely his leadership isn't making anything happen. Kwon, I think, is a great leader, heart and soul of the team, unquestioned, carries himself like a leader. I got the utmost respect for Kwon in the way that he's being a leader. But Lavonte David, as another captain, I'll pick him out. Yeah, he's just not that guy from a leadership standpoint. It's not his way. Lead by example guy and whatever. I think the team has a crisis of leadership right now, and that's real. And Dirk Koetter says they've got great leadership. All right. You know what? If you're a true franchise quarterback and you've got great leadership and you've got talent, you don't go on an extended losing streak 5, 6, 7 in a row here. You got to snap out of this thing. You got to find a way out. And if they can't find a way out, I've already been asked this like 5 times since yesterday. Do I think Dirk Koetter gets fired? Do I think Dirk Koetter is a chance that he's out after this season? And of course I do. Because you can't have a total collapse. But Dirk's got to find a way to go 500 the rest of this season, which I think would save his job. And he's got to keep the offense progressing and doing some good things, which I'm assuming this game was the true anomaly for the offensive standpoint, because everything else before this, they've at least put up some yardage. They've at least moved the ball erratically, but at least in every game. But Dirk, it's a tough spot. It's hard to judge this team right now in the context of, will the head coach be back? Because the leadership isn't good. Dirk doesn't seem to get him ready to play. I'm talking about right now where they sit this second against Carolina in this last game, because you just can't do that at home. So he's in a tough spot. I don't think he is set in stone, but plenty of time to overcome it. I don't think for a second that he would be fired before the end of the season by the Glazers. They're not rooting against Dirk Koetter. Nobody is. I'm certainly not. And I think Dirk can do this, but it's got to stop. It's got to stop. The leadership has to rain down upon this team, channel the talent they have. And you know what? If they're going to lose games, at least let it match the talent level. At least let it jibe. If they lost yesterday 31-30, I think Bucks fans would have been much more tolerant. All right, at least we're building an identity. We're an offense that can move the ball, and we can eventually fix ourselves with this defense. But right now, there's no identity. There's no leadership. There's no anything for anybody to sink their teeth into that makes you feel good about the team. That's got to change. That's really the next step, is to get some consistency on any of these sides of the ball. And when you get that, you're going to put together wins. Hey, a little business, a little fun to take care of. Sunday, Bucks watch party. I will be there. Some other special guests that we're confirming now. Maybe Ira Kaufman, I'm not sure. But I will be there, and there'll be some others as well. Good time always at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Abe's Place in Clearwater. Worth the drive. The food is worth the drive. The beer is worth the drive. It's a great football atmosphere on a Sunday. A lot of different angles and places to sit there. Fun football-friendly atmosphere. Great service, great food. All fresh food, indoor seating, outdoor seating. Anyway, it's a good time. Come on out. We can cheer together, commiserate together, chat Bucks. Abe's Place in Clearwater. Details are on joebucksfan.com, or go to abesplace.com for your menu and all that stuff. The podcast, There are other podcasts too. JoeBucksFan.com/podcasts has our lineup. And definitely we appreciate your support for all of them. This podcast, you can subscribe to it on Podbean, on Google Play, on iTunes. And we're performing very well. I'd love to see a review. If you don't like me or don't like the podcast, fire away. It's good to get some reviews. It's good to see it. It also jacks up the profile of the podcast. But if you made it this far in the podcast so far, you probably like it a little bit. If you've made it 20-something minutes in, 30 minutes in or whatever, wherever we are. So you know what? Leave a nice review. One sentence, three sentences, four sentences. It's all good. It all helps the cause. And of course, remember, support Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com, and Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai, lakelandautomall.com. They make it all happen. They make it all happen in the podcast world, and we appreciate your support as we here at joebucksfan.com make sports radio more and more irrelevant by the day. I love saying that. It's just kind of fun. All right. Now, trade deadline is tomorrow. Tomorrow's the trade deadline. The Bucks, what are they going to do? Should Jason Light here, who's in serious situation with his job, he doesn't have a new contract. His contract's up after this year, to the best of our knowledge, and I'm quite certain of that anyway, just the best of my knowledge. Does he make a trade? He's made many before. Jason Light's made some of the most total trades around the trade deadline of any GM since he's been the general manager. There have been small ones. There have been big ones. Mark Barron, Jonathan Casillas. You know, there are a lot of names there. Now, does Light do something now? I think he has to. I really do, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not just about this season. The Buccaneers, there is so little talent on the defensive line that that's just the scary situation that it is. There's limited talent, and it's not very good. Gerald McCoy, good football player. Clinton McDonald, you know, he's had some good moments this year, but Robert Ayers seems to be past his prime. He's played every game, doesn't look himself, one sack, and he's just not getting in the quarterback. He's not, it's just not good. Noah Spence, it's a huge question mark, that situation. Will Golston, he's regressed terribly as a pass rusher. He was never that great, but he's regressed there. And I'm no Chris Baker fan, as anybody who's listened to this podcast before knows. Turn on the film, you'll see a bad football player. There's no way he's going to be back here next year. He's just not good enough. If you watch that film, you'll see him get pancaked twice against the Panthers, at least. You'll also see, go look at the Cam Newton quarterback sneak. Cam Newton quarterback sneak, Chris Baker. Go watch what happens to Baker there. It's just, it's just bad. Yes, he made a few tackles, but I'm not, and he had a nice jump bat down. Okay, I'm not saying he's a total waste product, that he doesn't belong on the field at all, but he's not a starter, he's not a quality player, he's not worth what they're paying him, and he's not a guy I think you want in the locker room at this point in his career where he's sort of comfortable with a paycheck. Anyway, forget about that. The Bucks need some juice on the D-line, some live bodies to try out before free agency, before the draft. Because if they just go through this season, excuse me, with this crew of bodies, then what does Jason Light or any GM have to do in free agency? You're forced to spend on defensive ends and defensive line talent because you can't risk getting a guy in the draft. So you pigeonhole yourself in free agency, and then you pigeonhole yourself in the draft because they still are old on the D-line, and you're still going to have holes if you don't have McDonald and Baker and Ayers here next year. So try to get a guy there now. Try to find a guy now who might just be an Akeem Spence type, a guy who you know is at least serviceable. If they could find a serviceable body on the defensive line before the end of this season, it will help the flexibility in the draft. And you know what? If they're going to have the same staff intact, maybe the guy can even be developed. I mean, Jay Hayes worked out a lot of guys as part of the Buccaneers pre-draft work. This is coaches who've been around the league. Can we find some sort of defensive talent? Maybe even a disgruntled veteran somewhere who might want to change the scenery. I don't know. But I wrote up on joebucksfan.com, I think the guys that should be shopped by the team before the deadline I'll run through it quick for those who read it and don't want to bore you since you read it already. Evan Smith, he's in a contract year. Nice, versatile guard center, but he's 31 years old. He's not a picture of fitness, and I don't think he's going to be got a lot of years left in this league. He's a good guy, and you know what? There's supposed to be a scarcity of linemen around the league. Let go of Smith. You know, maybe somebody wants him for a stretch run. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's been there. I don't think he's that great. And I'd much rather see Kevin Pamphile, the younger player, get all the reps at left guard. He's sharing now with Evan Smith, which is a whole nother topic of conversation because it doesn't make a lot of sense. But give Pamphile the snaps so you can see if you really want to re-sign him because he's in a contract year, his rookie deal. Maybe you get some sort of live body for Smith. I'm not talking draft picks. I'm talking about a live body, some defensive tackle or D-end buried on somebody's depth chart. That's what I'm talking about. Same thing for Doug Martin. Guy's got 1,100 NFL carries just about on his tires right now. He's not a dynamic running back. He's not the Super Bowl running back for when this team makes the Super Bowl. See, I'm an optimist, I told you. And we all know how I feel about Doug Martin. Maybe there's a GM out there who just is in love with him and who thinks they can make a run with Martin. You know, but get a body, get a defensive line body, something that might turn into something with some snaps here for the second half of the season. Same thing for Joe Hawley. If you can't move Evan Smith, maybe you move Joe Hawley. What's the point with a crap team having a backup, a third, number three center who doesn't play? He's healthy. He's put back, though his knee's good. He's put back the muscle weight he lost last year because of the bad knee. I don't see any point. And you know what? If you trade Hawley, good chance you could get him back if you really need him someday. So I would look to move him. TJ Ward, he's obviously not that happy with his role. 3-time Pro Bowl safety. He's still got some cachet around the league. Maybe you get something for him. Again, a body. And maybe somebody wants Baker. Maybe. Maybe somebody sees something I don't or wants a body for a stretch run. Who knows? But if I'm Jason Light, I got to get something. I can't just walk into next season with a talent deficit this large on the defensive line. We need some bodies. We really do. I'm not suggesting for 1 second trading any of the major offensive talent. I think that's stupid. I think you work too hard to get that talent. And frankly, fans put in too much sweat and pain into 2 consecutive years of not enough receiving depth to go trade a receiver or a quality tight end for defensive help. I just don't see it. Don't do it. But you know what? You got cogs. You got pieces on defense. Move them. Maybe somebody wants Chris Conte. I don't know. But the Bucks need a shakeup. They need to move. They need to shift some of that talent or the potential talent into the defensive line. And that's just cold, cold reality there. You know what? I'd even put Will Golston in the mix. I like what Will Golston brings against the run. But you know what? If you've got some sort of 3-4 team that maybe thinks that they have a 4-3 end who doesn't fit and they're willing to trade up, or maybe there's something there where you get a different kind of talent in exchange for Golston, the Bucks need to shake up on that D-line in a big way. And again, like I said earlier, Gerald McCoy has got to make the guys better around him, and I'm not seeing that happen. So maybe new players would respond better to McCoy. I don't know. I'm reaching here, but the trade deadline's here. I think the Bucks keep telling us. I don't have to think it. I know it. Dirk Cutter just told us the other day on his radio show, quote, where's my quote? I lost my quote. It's here somewhere. Oh, he's telling us we have enough talent. We have enough talent. We were told all offseason we got enough talent. We got plenty of talent. Well, you know what, Dirk? If you believe that, at least you know for a fact you don't have enough talent in the one area would be on the defensive line. So go get more. If you think you got something in you, that's even more of a reason to try to make a run, philosophically speaking, this season. If the team really believes in what it has, at least they know that one area of deficit. Try to improve it. I don't know. But it's just unacceptable. We're not going to run through the rest of the season with no upgrade on the D-line. To me, a mistake. So that's just me. I'm just the amateur GM here, sitting at home, Bucks fan, freaking miserable on a Monday. I got to tell you, does anybody realize how hard it is to do these podcasts? Not because it's hard to talk Bucks. I've been doing that for years. But here's the deal. You know, when I would go on the radio or be on the radio, radio is live. And there's a certain time where you show up and you do your thing and the curtain goes up, light goes on, you're ready to go. But I've got to motivate myself to do the podcast because I'm so freaking depressed, tossing and turning all night, thinking of these stupid Bucks, driving my kids to school and trying to understand what the heck happened. I'm talking to my 9-year-old who doesn't understand why the team keeps getting worse. And, you know, anybody who talks football with a little kid, they get it real, right? They get a real dose of reality because the kids just kind of see it on a different plane and the Bucks stink and a kid can see it. Anybody can see it. And it's just frustrating. So sometimes I put off doing the podcast because there is no light that goes on. I have to just sort of build myself up because I'm not forced to hit a radio time and I'm just rambling here on that, but it's tough. I know how tough it is for all the Bucks fans today because again, I'm a fan first and this is just painful, painful. You invest so much into this team emotionally and mentally and all your time and 8 months of an off season and hard knocks and damn, and they stink. It's really bad. But I think the bigger picture, I was going to go in some other directions, but really the heck with it. The bigger picture is that the team has to right the ship here. They're not going to make the playoffs, but 9 games left. This team should be good enough to go 5-4. They are good enough. They have that kind of talent. 4-5, 5-4. They have to be able to do that. They have to be able to turn themselves into a quality offense because of all the weapons. If Dirk Cutter can't do that, if he can't find a way to win 6 or 7 games this season and have a strong offense to close this season where, okay, DeSean Jackson is gelled and I've blended the tight ends and our passing game is borderline elite and we're humming and next year we're going to get a running back and we're going to be the offense that Bucks fans have always dreamed of. They got to get to that point. And if they can't do that, then I don't know if he's the right guy. And as sick and twisted as it would be to have another 2-year head coach here, the tools are there. The quarterback is in place. I really believe Jameis's arm will be just fine, by the way. And it's got to be done. There's just, you can't just keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Doesn't work that way. And the stability stuff is wonderful. The continuity stuff is wonderful when you've got the right guy. But you don't always have the right guy. And Dirk Cutter can show us, I believe, there's plenty of time this season for him to show us that he is the right guy. And that starts immediately in finishing this season 5-4, maybe 4-5 with a strong offense. But it's got to be done. All right, guys, hang in there. Enjoy JoeBucksFan.com. Don't give up on your Bucks. Don't give up on your Bucks fashion, passion, or your fashion. Wear your jerseys. But, you know, let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard to your ticket rep, to your friends, on the comments section of JoeBucksFan.com. Be a loud fan. Be a fan who speaks out. However you choose to do it because of what makes football great is the ongoing dialogue and the fun and the strain and the agony. And when we finally turn this thing around, it's what makes it that much more sweet. All right, Monday Morning Joe, back at you next Sunday. Remember, Abe's Place, come on out. I'll buy you a beer. You could always tell me. Oh, by the way, I promised everybody on the last podcast that if Buffalo ever scored 30 points again this season, I would give something away. So you know what? they go out and they score 30 points yesterday, making me look like an idiot, which is fine. I'm all for that. But you know what? If you come out to Abe's Place, let me know. Say, hey, Steve, heard you on the podcast. You're giving something away. I'll buy you some wings or I'll buy you a beer or maybe even both, but probably one of the just one or the other. Let me know. Enjoy, Bucks fans. Get through the week. We'll see you.